my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1, 2, 3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to this delayed edition of episode 92 of My 1, 2, 3 Cents, the podcast. We, of course, are doing a SummerSlam recap, and of course, when we do those, timing gets a little weird. But anyway, without any further ado, Chad is joining me as well. And Chad, we were talking before we started recording, and at least on paper, and I think even in execution, this SummerSlam, probably one of the better SummerSlam events, and maybe one of the better pay-per-views, at least in my opinion, in recent years.
Yeah, I thought overall the show was a good show. It definitely was too long. You know, there were definitely parts that definitely could have been cut out, and I'm saying definitely way too much. And the Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial, or KFC commercial, was very oddly placed into the show, but other than that, I would have given the show, take off the last 20 minutes of the show, and you've got a definite thumbs up.
Yeah, and let's start at the top because timing issues and whatnot, but we're hoping that this podcast is making air before Monday Night Raw, but we're kind of talking about the aftermath and not necessarily nitpicking the matches and discussing the match, each match in length. But Brock Lesnar and Randy Orton, it was an exhibition, excuse me, in brutality, with Lesnar just kind of basically, as you put it, beating the piss out of Randy Orton.
Yeah, we were discussing before we went on the show, or before we started recording, that match to me, I wasn't paying attention to. It was kind of like the Lesnar-Undertaker match at WrestleMania 30. I find Brock Lesnar matches not to be that exciting. And the match with Taker, I didn't figure he was going to lose, so why pay attention? But this one, I just, you know, after 7 suplexes and 2 RKOs and then an F5, and it's just, there was no flow to the match, so I just stopped watching. And then all of a sudden I look up and see Orton in a puddle of blood, and then the match was stopped, and I don't know if that was supposed to happen, but given the events that led afterwards, where Orton or Lesnar kept attacking Orton and then giving Shane the F5 when Shane came out, it seems pretty well planned, but it was a nasty looking ending to that match.
Now, we were talking about this too, and I tweeted it. You mentioned it to me last night, or you know, during SummerSlam, the fact that there have been some recent suspensions, Eva Marie, Alberto Del Rio, and Paige, all confirmed suspended for 30 days for wellness violations of the wellness policy. Brock Lesnar, of course, ran into those testings with UFC, failed 2 of those tests, is not subject to WWE's wellness program because he is a part-time attraction, basically. You know, I'm going to just go right ahead and say it. I think that is bull. I'm going to keep it clean because it is a family-friendly podcast, but I think it's bogus that someone not only failed 2 drug tests, but is main eventing the WWE's event and has 0 repercussions and went over in the match. I don't get that mentality.
Yeah, and I think it's also, as we discussed before the show, I think it sends a bad message to your locker room. And you nailed it in your blog post a few weeks ago. Lesnar may be a part-time attraction, but he's listed as a, you know, active wrestler on the webpage. He was drafted, I believe, 3rd overall in the draft. So why would you draft someone who wasn't a major, you know, a full-time star it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I agree that having him, which maybe if this Orton injury was legit, maybe Lesnar wasn't supposed to go over. I don't know, but still putting that as your main event is when you have the crowning of a new title and another title match on the show, that seemed really odd to me.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit more about that, because for the last, since WrestleMania, I guess, we've been hearing the phrase new era. Mm-hmm. And you main event the biggest pay-per-view of the year, because I do feel like this event surpassed WrestleMania in terms of match quality and matches in general. Mm-hmm. You headline it with two guys who have been with the company for 15 years. So, yeah. I agree. And I do think, and we'll transition into the Universal Championship match, Finn Balor and Seth Rollins, I kind of assumed would have been the main event. It seemed, I guess, though, if you're looking at it as, well, at least Raw and SmackDown were represented in the main event, this was kind of the last pay-per-view or big event with both brands, probably until Survivor Series. But I don't know. I would make the case that the Universal title, especially because it's something brand new, you would have showcased and highlighted that a little bit more. But Finn Balor, the new champ, missed the call on that one. I figured Seth would win it, but I'm pleased with the outcome either way.
Yeah. I
know you're not a huge Finn Balor guy.
I said it before, I'm not a Finn Balor. Not that I'm not a fan, I just don't get the appeal. Mm-hmm. I am not a super fan, let's put it that way. And the Demon King thing, it's cool, but I mean, it's cool for the entrance, but once he gets in the ring, it's Finn Balor. It's not like he changes his moveset or does anything, at least not that I've noticed. They had a decent match. Finn winning, I mean, they've strapped the rocket to Finn, so hopefully he can, carry the company, but
yeah, as of right now, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, he's undefeated on the main roster now since being drafted, isn't he?
Well, yeah, he's had three matches. So, he's undefeated, but it's kind of like, and I'm going to tie back into NXT real quick, with Nakamura winning the title. These are two guys, the current NXT champion, the former NXT champion, who I just don't have an interest in. Mm-hmm. So, from my fans' standpoint, the title scene on Raw and NXT is just not that exciting to me right now. But these guys did have a decent match. I think it should have main evented SummerSlam, and I'm sure all the Finn Balor fans were happy. I was kind of surprised that the club did not get involved, but I'm glad that they didn't.
Yeah, I agree. Two other potential main events, Dean Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler. That one went down pretty much the way we expected it, with Ambrose coming out on top. Do you see this feud continuing on, or will Dean move on to someone else? And if so, who is ready?
It's WWE, so that dictates that every feud has to last at least three pay-per-view matches. So I see this feud lasting. I texted you during the show that after the build-up, the hype video for this, it would have been funny if Dean would have won in less than a minute, just because the way Dolph was all like, I'm going to win this title. I've never been respected, blah, blah, blah. But I thought the match was good. I thought the ending sequence was really good. I'm not surprised to see Dean win and retain the title. I don't know who else, other than Bray Wyatt, who else you're going to have him feud with. But I would say Bray for Survivor Series, at least.
And I'm glad you brought up Bray Wyatt, because, and I know I'm exaggerating here, but I think Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan may have been two of the only superstars not a part of SummerSlam. And I don't understand, and maybe I missed something along the way, but he's not hurt or anything, is he? I mean, he's a top player and was in that six-pack challenge originally to determine the number one contender. So I would have liked to have seen them, even if it would have been just Bray in action alone, in some sort of – because they were even part of the buildup for the match between Dolph and Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. I saw something a while ago that said Bray Wyatt had tweeted out after SummerSlam. I'm trying to find the.
Yeah, he tweeted something kind of cryptic. It was like one word. I don't remember what. I know what you're talking about too, though.
Okay. But yeah, now that you mention it, I guess maybe they drain out of people to have them face. But it seems odd that, yeah, they would be the only two people not on the show.
And I know they're probably not the only two, but they were probably, at least Bray Wyatt, in my opinion, one of the top three or four heels on the SmackDown brand, and maybe right behind AJ Styles, actually. So, yeah, I just thought it was kind of odd that he was not a part of SummerSlam. And I know, I remember back in 91 when The Undertaker was red hot, and he was not on the card, but was a part of the whole wedding reception with Macho and Liz and Jake the Snake. And I was kind of looking even maybe for him to be a part of a vignette to kind of promote or push on to something else, but that did not happen, which is fine. We'll, again, kind of wait and see what happens this week on SmackDown, because I imagine he will still be a key player. And I guess they were even kind of flirting with a Randy Orton feud with Bray at one point too. So hopefully Bray doesn't get lost in the shuffle of SmackDown Live already. The other potential main event that could have been, which ended up, I think, a lot of people surprised by the work rate that John Cena put into it. I was not, but folks talking about AJ Styles and John Cena giving it some high marks, and AJ getting the clean pin, which I feel like he really needed.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised to see Styles win. I had my LOL Cena wins text ready to send to you. And I've seen a lot of criticism of this match online, and it's funny because the criticism seems to be of the variety, burying it for what other promotions would get praised for. Mm. And what other matches in WWE have, you know, the kick out of finishers and whatnot. But I thought the match was exciting. Like you said, Cena, for all his faults, still gives it 100% when he's out there. AJ is coming off as a major star. I think it was the right decision for AJ to win, obviously, because, you know, build up. Cena is in that position where he doesn't have to win anymore, and he's still going to get cheered and booed. I thought this was probably match of the night, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. I guess pun intended. I didn't realize it until I just said that. What do you make of him leaving, John Cena leaving the Never Give Up wristband in the ring, or bicep band? A lot of people kind of talking about that. WWE tweeted a picture of it at one point too. So I imagine, like at most things, that was obviously to plant some sort of seed.
Yeah, well, I believe Cena is going to be disappearing for a while. I know his show True Grit was renewed by Fox. I don't know when they'll shoot that, if it'll be a spring show or a summer show like it was this season. I think he's got some other projects lined up, because he's only on, I don't think he's on any house shows for the foreseeable future.
Okay.
So I believe this was just his way of signaling his departure.
Well, and since you mentioned house shows, let's go into the women's championship match. Sasha Banks losing the women's title to Charlotte. I'm happy by that. I am a Charlotte guy, as I've mentioned before. All kinds of online speculation, though. Almost immediately after this match, it was announced that Sasha is off for the next, I think we said 32 days. There is buzz and speculation that, like Eva Marie and Paige and Alberto Del Rio, who have all been suspended for 30 days, that she may have failed a wellness policy test. That has not been confirmed by WWE. That is just online speculation at this point, as of this recording at 9 a.m. on Monday. So we don't know exactly what's going on. I just moments ago read another online report that said that she does legitimately have some nagging injuries and she was going to take some time off. It's just... it's curious, the timing of it all, but I think WWE did the right thing by putting the belt back on Charlotte, and let's do it with Flair. Woo! All right, I'll let you talk now.
Yeah, a surprise outcome, but given the circumstances, makes sense. The match was kind of sloppy and cringe-inducing at times. Surprise! If Sasha wasn't injured before the match, I believe she definitely was after.
Yes, yes.
But again, it much like the Divas or women's tag match later in the show, it was good to see them actually get time. You know, normally 2 years ago, this match would have gone maybe 5-6 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one that thinks that, like, oh, for a good match. For match to be good, it's got to go X amount of minutes. But it's good to see that the women's matches are being treated like other matches instead of just being throwaways. And Sasha and Charlotte, botches aside, they held their own against everybody else on the show.
I truly think, and I don't think it will be a WrestleMania. But I do think we are not far away from a WWE pay-per-view, and it may not even be one of the big four, but I think that we will see a women's match, main event, a pay-per-view special, or whatever they're calling them now on the network. You know, these two women, and this match has happened, I don't want to say too many times before, but it has happened a lot, and I think that with it just being on USA just a couple of weeks ago, maybe part of the reason why it was placed where it was placed, but I seriously think that the women's evolution, or I guess they're calling it women's evolution now, it truly is doing what it was supposed to do, and you know, there's so much potential and so many bright spots right now on the women's roster where a year ago, like you said, we just didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think they need, and they're getting a little better about building storylines around the women who aren't involved in the title match. Which, you know, if you're going to strengthen the division, you need multiple. You can't just have a flavor of the month challenger,
right,
and expect the division to flourish. So, but I mean, they've got the talent. The talent is obviously there. It's up for the creative team and Vince, I guess, to highlight it. But I think they're doing a good job. And the match, I don't know if I would rate it as high as the WrestleMania triple threat.
But, right.
For me personally, I think it was better than Bayley and Asuka from NXT the night before.
Well, that transitions into you kind of alluded to it a minute ago, the six women match that took place in the return of Nikki Bella. I liked how they played Eva Marie off. She, of course, as we've mentioned, is suspended. They kept the gimmick going with her no-showing. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened had she not been suspended and where they were going with that. But bringing Nikki back into the fold, I was surprised by the online, because I'm not a huge Bella Twins fan. I'll put that out there. I was surprised by the reaction online. A lot of people excited to see that Nikki is back. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of role she will play on SmackDown Live, and presumably with the creation of a women's championship on SmackDown Live.
Yeah, we discussed earlier. It was kind of odd that they played Eva Marie's entrance, because I'm going to assume that 95% of the audience knew she was suspended,
mm-hmm,
and wasn't going to be there, and WWE had even changed the match on all their promo stuff to a 3-on-2 handicap match. I think it would have made more sense to hold off Eva's suspension until today and play to, because I think all along this was the plan, was Eva was going to no-show, and then they bring out Nikki as the replacement.
Yeah.
And I was surprised, not really surprised at the reaction that Nikki got, given the fact that she's been the focus of the division. Total Divas is a thing. Total Bellas is going to be a new thing now. But I don't know. I'm with you. I'm not a Bellas fan, so seeing her back doesn't get me excited.
Yeah, I mean, props to her that, I mean, she did overcome a very serious injury that could have ended the career of a lesser person. So in that regard, you know, it's good that she is healthy enough and that she is back. So, she should definitely help, especially with a couple of the women being out with suspensions and then Sasha being hurt on Raw. So it'll be nice to have another woman to throw into the mix and have as a part of the competition for sure. Rusev and Roman Reigns never really technically happened, I guess. Roman Reigns beating up Rusev, although Rusev, I guess, started the whole fight, but I guess this feud will carry on too.
Yeah, I'm assuming, and I think something must have happened in whoever copies the scripts for WWE must have got mixed up SummerSlam and Raw scripts, because Monday night, Rusev and Reigns fought a 20-minute match. That was a complete match. Last night, they get into a brawl that never really – for a match that never starts. It seems kind of backwards the way that happened. As long as Reigns doesn't take the title from Rusev, because I think Rusev – I think Rusev is making the U.S. title important the way Cena did. And I think the fans are slowly getting behind Reigns, as long as it doesn't feel like we're getting the Reigns push that we've got for the last 2 years. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think having them just go out and brawl and beat each other up and then have Rusev, you know, retain the title at the end of the feud is the way to go. And I'm okay with this feud continuing.
Yeah.
I think it keeps Roman away from the title, from the, you know, the main title. And so far they've had, I mean, their match on Raw last week was really good. So I'm okay with this feud continuing.
And The Miz beating Apollo Crews, retaining the Intercontinental Championship. So there wasn't, I mean, that was, I wasn't surprised by it, but Crews, of course, has some great moves. It'll be interesting to see what kind of happens with him now, because I feel like he's going to, you know, end up like Darren Young, who was wrestling last month for the Intercontinental title. And I guess the primetime players weren't on SummerSlam either, so.
They could have fought Bray and Eric Rowan.
There you go. Let's see. Enzo, or actually, let's do New Day and the club. I was fearful that the New Day would lose the tag team championship, but I'm glad they didn't. John Stewart getting involved. I was glad, though, that he didn't screw over New Day. But New Day did lose, but just by disqualification, so they will remain tag team champions at least for now.
Yeah, you know, the club, to me, it goes back to my feelings on Nakamura and Finn Balor, all in the Bullet Club originally in New Japan, all came in with huge hype. And I've yet to see anything spectacular out of them. I don't.
Now, did you watch any of New Japan though? Like, are you familiar with their work as a collective in New Japan?
I've seen a couple of Bullet Club matches, none of which have made me want to see more Bullet Club.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I like Doc Gallows in Impact. I've seen Carl Anderson on one or two PWG shows eight, nine years ago. But as I told you last night, Carl Anderson to me is, if you buy the new WWE 2K17 game, put it in, go to create a wrestler, and realize you don't have the time to make a new character, that is Carl Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
He's just very bland and generic. And this whole doctor thing, kind of amusing, but not, like...
It doesn't seem like it fits their personality. Based on, you know, them kind of being... And I don't know if it's a rib, like if WWE is trying to distance, even though they continue to call them the club, but are they trying to distance that association? But then, you know, they have them doing the too sweet sign and whatnot too. So do you think that there is a future with the club and Finn Balor, or do you think the club will continue to pursue New Day?
I think the club New Day feud will continue, given the fact that the match ended in a DQ. This is where I think WWE needs to distance themselves from the club. And I know fans probably will disagree with me, but I don't want to... I would rather see Balor and AJ and Gallows and Anderson do their own thing and create their own persona instead of carrying over, you know, something from New Japan. Now, if Nakamura comes in and they all get together, and I also think that if you do that, is it going to be a, you know, an NWO rehash or a DX rehash, especially with the too sweet?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I want something fresh.
Right. And, you know, when they tried to rehash the NWO, you know, back in 2002, and brought Shawn Michaels, and I think the Big Show was it just didn't work. And I agree with you on the club thing, and I know that they're all the original members of it, but I just think sometimes when WWE gets their hands on something that wasn't theirs originally, they kind of, whether it's intentional or not, it just does not come off as good as the original.
Yeah, definitely. And New Day, I think New Day needs to also freshen up their act. I think they're, given the amount of time that they get on each show, they're getting a little stale. So, and I was hoping with Big E being out, like maybe this will lead to something, but now Big E's back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they would have dropped the titles, would it have segued and moved Big E into a singles spot? But definitely I think New Day needs to do something new to create new merchandise. So.
Yeah, they are. Something's coming out. I don't remember what it is now.
New Day Rocks chocolate bars.
Yeah. The Pop Rocks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of New Day, I could almost see, which to me was the surprise of the night, Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens beating Enzo and Big Cass. I could almost see Jericho and Owens becoming one of these makeshift teams that they won't be around forever. It'll be like many of Jericho's last incarnations of tag teams with Big Show and I'm trying to think of who else he teamed with that they went on to win the tag team championships.
Edge was RKO.
I think I was thinking Miz, because I know Miz and Big Show teamed up, and then Miz and Jericho teamed up. But I know you have an opinion of Jericho. I don't hate the combination of Owens and Jericho. I feel bad, though, because I feel like Kevin Owens could be and should be a great single star. But, you know, if that means teaming up and being part of a tag team for a little bit and maybe even having a run as tag team champion, I'm fine with that as well.
Yeah, I am actually okay with this because I find Kevin Owens entertaining, and having him to play off Jericho, I think, helps Jericho at this point. So I can definitely see a New Day Jericho feud, and I think I would be more open to that and Jericho winning the titles than the club.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree with that. Sheamus beating Cesaro in match one of their best of seven. I still maintain that Cesaro will end up winning this. And, you know, this was to give Sheamus maybe even a one or two match advantage. I think, though, Cesaro will defy the odds and go on to bigger and better things as well down the road. My boy Neville teaming up with Sami Zayn to defeat the Dudley Boys. These were all part of the pre-show. Do you think that this is going to be a thing now with Neville and Zayn, or was this just something to do with these four guys because the Dudleys didn't have anyone to wrestle?
Why were the Dudleys, I guess other than being in New York, why were the Dudleys on this show? When was the last time outside of WrestleMania that they were featured on any show? And are we going to start capitalizing DUD in their name, because that's what this comeback has been?
Well, I think that part of it, I mean, and I think we're going to see it with some of these other guys that they're bringing back. We get the nostalgia pop, but it's, you know, Vince this time around really does seem to legitimately be getting behind this new era mentality.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And I get it to an extent, but it's kind of like when Mick Foley kept coming back and losing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, at what point do you not get anything on the return? Like, if everybody knows that they're just here to lose, what's the difference between the Dudley Boys now and the local jobbers that Braun Strowman's beating up every week?
Right. And do you think, though, with the miscommunication, I almost am suspecting that they're going to split them up and have them maybe feud, and then they kind of take their swan song with that. Do you think it's too late to do a Bully Ray run?
I don't know if it's too late, but I that's what I was hoping we would have gotten to begin with, because much like we're talking about being fresh and freshening up acts, the Dudley Boys are straight out of 1999.
Right.
And it's just...
I see that. Last match that we'll talk about, the babyface tag teams of SmackDown Live beating the heels again. Surprisingly not going with the 50-50 booking. I guess everybody's money is on American Alpha to win the presumed and assumed tag team championships on SmackDown. Can SmackDown do a tag team division with just six teams, do you think?
Yeah, why not? I think, you know, over the last few years, WWE, the tag team has kind of been like the women's mm-hmm. title, where you just have the flavor of the month challengers. So yeah, you give a champion, and then even with five teams competing, that's, you do two matches in a feud, that you know, that covers a year.
Yeah.
Champs, so why not?
It'll be interesting to see. Time will tell, obviously. But any parting words before we wrap things up?
You know, it was a long weekend of wrestling. I watched Evolve's show Saturday afternoon, the NXT show, Chikara's first live special yesterday afternoon, which actually overlapped with the pre-show of SummerSlam that I forgot all about. So it was a long weekend of wrestling. I don't think any show really blew me away, but all shows were... I didn't regret watching any of the shows. So I just hope Chikara can figure out their technical issues before their next live show. But overall, I think we're in a good time for wrestling now. Yeah. And there are several things that you can nitpick, but I think if you just go in as a fan, which coming from me, this is shocking that I'm saying this. If you just go in and try to enjoy it, you should be pleasantly pleased.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that 100% as well. Well, that's going to do it for episode 92 of My 123 Cents, the podcast. Don't forget to check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Head over to iTunes and leave a review as well. Going to be announcing a big contest coming up soon in relationship to iTunes and your reviews and your shares and thoughts on the show. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next week for episode 93.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.